A reading from the Gospel according to Luke. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there's enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing on him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he'll send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, every one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. The college at which I did my undergrad degree was fairly well known in the sciences. Lots of people, when they went there, listed pre-med as their intended major. We had a couple of immensely popular biology teachers on the faculty, and they were known to do fun, creative things to help make their classes enjoyable and thought-provoking. For example, one was known to drink eggs raw and eat insects in front of his class, you know, that sort of thing. Their classes were burgeoning, especially freshman year. Even non-science majors would take them just for the experience. And some of these freshman classes were lighter weight, like one course nicknamed Rocks for Jocks. But then, sophomore year, there was zoology. It was known within the department as the Weeder Outer course. The crowds of potential doctors had been building up for two semesters now, and it was time to separate the chaff from the grain, as they say. But unfortunately, I was one of those history majors who did not get the message in time. I was there to watch teachers swallow raw eggs. And let's just say that after week of phyla and genus and dissection of every type of carcass, the class of 100 was down to about 60, and I consider myself very lucky to have pulled off the semester with a low B. Today's reading strikes me as the gospel parallel to Zoology 101. We're 14 chapters into the book of Luke. During this period of time, the crowds have been building. Great crowds, it says, were following Jesus. And he's preaching brilliantly. He's worked a few miracles. I don't know, maybe swallowed a raw egg or two. And the people are digging it. This is the one to be with, the guru to follow. And then it says, Jesus turns around. I love the phraseology here. Jesus, he turned. He looks out over this massive pool of candidates for the position of disciple that he's been assembling. This has gotten a little out of control, you can hear him thinking. It's time to do some winnowing. And so right then and there, he offers his weeding out lecture. This is all fine and good, he says. I'm really glad that you're all here, but I have something to tell you. If you want to be my disciple, there are these three things I feel compelled to let you know about. One, you have to hate your family. Mother, father, sister, brother, kids, spouse, all of them. Yes, I know that family is the main way you identify yourself here. It's how you get to know who you are, but that can't be anymore. You've got to identify with me. Two, you got to take up your cross. You got to be willing to deny yourself, even let go of your own life. It's true, you could die. I want you to know that. Oh, and then number three, you need to let go of all your possessions. Just get rid of them. And I want you to think hard about these things because you don't want to get halfway into this discipleship thing and then change your mind, just like the builder of a home or the leader of an army. You don't dig a basement and not have enough to complete the house. It'd be useless. Or you don't go off and invade a country and then find out you don't have the soldiers you needed. You'd have to beg for peace. No, if you're going to be my disciple, make sure you're in it for the long haul. That's it. Class dismissed. On Monday, we'll be talking about millstones and mustard seeds. And you can kind of see them walking home with their notebooks, can't you? That sort of deer in the headlights look, maybe a few grumblers mumbling, "Well, that's not really fair. Was that in the syllabus? Do you think I can still drop the course and get my money back, or will there be a permanent incomplete on my transcript?" And then, come Monday morning, who dares to show back up? My guess is four groups of students. In the first row is the poor, who've never had any possessions of which to let go of, and are glad not to have been disqualified on this account. The second row is filled with those who never had much of a family in the first place, at least not one that loved as it ought, and would really like a new sort of community. The third row is comprised of the long-suffering who've known the cross and do not fear it any longer. They know there's nothing more the world has to offer them. And then, bringing up the rear, are the theologians. Jesus raises his eyebrows when they return. He knows they are prone to rationalizing his words, and they know that Jesus is prone to using hyperbole in his. Isn't this the man who elsewhere told us to pluck out our eyes and cut off our hands if they were the source of sin? They're back, and they have some questions. Jesus, what exactly do you mean by hate? Because if you hate someone, don't they become your enemy? And didn't you say to love your enemies? If everyone were to give up all their possessions, who would be responsible for caring for property? Isn't it true that communities thrive better where there's private ownership than not? And what would happen to children if abandoned by their parents? Wouldn't that only create more poverty and suffering rather than less? And Jesus knows that really they should be history majors. These are the students whose only hope of salvation comes through their persistence. If they continue to show up, maybe by the grace of God, they can pull a low B. They're never going to be the top students in the class, but at least they're there. And Jesus looks over this class with love. Now it's beginning to look less like a crowd and more like a church. The poor, the suffering, the truly homeless, the questioners. These are the people for whom Jesus came. Here's a group he can work with.